Welcome to Kindred Spirits from Berkeley, California. I'm David Freudberg. Our guest today is Jane English. She's an author, a painter, a photographer. And some years ago, she very creatively collaborated with Jiafu Feng on producing a lovely book called Tao Te Ching, taken from the ancient Chinese wisdom book, written by Lao Tzu, who may or may not be a mythical figure. Jane, could you first give us a little background on this old Chinese wise man called Lao Tzu?
Well, the background that I can give you is mostly what I've been told by Jiafu Feng. And Lao Tzu literally means old man, so it's not clear whether this was a real figure or not. But it's a real being, in that mythological beings are also very real. I think that's an important thing for especially we Western materialists to remember. It's from several hundred years B.C., and it's a collection of wisdom. It's the first writing down of this wisdom of the Chinese Taoists. The story goes that Lao Tzu, the old man, was on his way out through the city gate, going out to die out in the wilderness. He was fed up with civilization. I think things weren't much different then than they are now. He just wanted to leave. It was time for him to go. But the gatekeeper wouldn't let him through until he wrote down. And what he wrote down is the 81 chapters of Tao Te Ching.
These chapters are brief capsules of wisdom, sort of chestnuts of beautiful insights into reality and the meaning of life, and they really are cherished in Chinese culture and indeed throughout the whole world as among the very greatest of wisdom sayings. Maybe we can start by reading the very first chapter, which in a sense says it all. The Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of 10,000 things. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one can see the manifestations. These two spring from the same source but differ in name. This appears as darkness. Darkness within darkness. The gate to all mystery. What for you is that experience of the Tao, the unnameable reality?
I find myself smiling when you ask that question, because that's the paradox in this whole book is that the first chapter says that you can't talk about it, and then he talks about it for 81 chapters, which I think is wonderful. For me, I never used the word Tao very much. I think I experienced it first without even being aware of it when I was a child out in nature. That's where most of my photographs in the book come from my experience of spending a lot of time just being out in the woods, doing what I'd now call communing with nature, but I didn't even call it that then. I didn't call it anything. So that's the whole point. And that's why my contribution to the book is the photographs, and that's where I feel really confident. As we were talking a few minutes ago, I'm not a scholar on Taoism. My first contact with Tao Te Ching was when I picked up a little small paperback copy of it while I was in graduate school, while I was studying physics. I think it was an antidote to too much rational, logical education. And somehow the universe connected Jiafu Feng and me. I'm not quite sure how that all happened. Even now, I look back at it kind of in amazement still. But what we did together, we did complementary aspects of putting this book together. He had the Chinese background. He knew the Chinese language. He knew English well enough to translate it sort of into English. And there was a large group of us that helped put it into good English. Plus, we had a wonderful editor at Alfred A. Knopf Company in New York who did the final polishing touches on it. But my contribution is more the visual, more the metaphoric, almost speaking in the sort of common left brain, right brain things. Jiafu's contribution was the left brain linear language aspect, and mine was the more metaphoric visual, putting it together and giving it a context.